friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Merrill Hodge is going to join us coming up here at 11:20. We're going to talk to him. Particularly, you want to talk to him about running backs, don't you?
I want to ask him about running backs, especially with the whole Judkins situation and how quickly you can get up to speed. I'm fascinated by that.
Merrill Hodge coming up in a little bit. Plus, we'll have Tom McCarthy, who's calling this week's game on television, the NFL on CBS. That is 11:40. So he'll be joining us shortly here in just a few moments. I'm looking forward to talking to both those guys. Next hour, Chris Ostenheimer, super friend of the show, Chronicle Telegram, and the other super friend of the show, Tim May, will join us right after that. So we're going to talk Guardians, the legend. Yeah, and then we'll talk Ohio State as the Buckeyes get set to take on the Bobcats of Ohio. And that is tomorrow afternoon. That is a 3:30 kick, I think, for Ohio State and Ohio. And then see, they are off, and then they go to Washington. That'll be an interesting game. They still haven't announced a kickoff time for that. There's no way that game starts any earlier than 3:30. If Fox makes that a noon kickoff, kickoff, there's just no way. That's not happening.
I always
feel
bad when that was starting to happen last year for USC and like UCLA. Not as much UCLA. They weren't very good last year. But USC, I always felt bad because it's like, hey, here's a 9 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, why would anyone? No one's doing that. JV teams don't even play that early.
Yeah, it's
JV games
silly.
Kick off at 10 for the most part, I think. 10:30, 11, depends on what school.
Yeah, I hope that's a 3:30 kick.
All right, Merrill Hodge is going to join us here in a second. We were talking about the Browns-Ravens game going into this, and you know, a lot of things to get to in this game. Dan and I have conflicting theories on this game. He really wants the Browns to start throwing the ball downfield. I'm like, man, take 3 yards, 3.5 yards per play, and be super happy, and that's how you have a chance to win the game. Slow it down. Matthew is in Gates Mills. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's the word in Gates Mills?
Hey, man. I was just going to touch on what you were talking about earlier. You were talking about how the fans, there's not a lot of young fans in there. I just want to let you guys know. I'm 20 years old. I've been a fan as long as I can remember. I'm going to be 21 at the end of September here. Mm-hmm. And my dad was one of the
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. My dad was one of the biggest fans. He passed away when I was 15, but he was like so explosive about rivalries in the AFC. And I think that looking at this game as the 30th anniversary, I think it's a kick in the teeth. And I think that I think that the players, like what they were saying the other day, like Grant Delpit talking about, or I forgot who it was, but they were talking about, you know, kicking their teeth and having Derrick Henry not getting any runs.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that's the energy I want to go into this game. This is a kick in the teeth for us, I think, as the Browns fans. And, you know, obviously I'm not that old to know like how it felt when.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I wasn't saying the Browns don't have young fans. What I'm saying is that tradition is what keeps it alive. Like, right. And it's, I'm not trying to be super philosophical, but it's more than football. You know, you said your dad passed away when you were 15, right? And I'm sorry for that. But doesn't the Browns give you that connection still? That no matter what you know, that he's still sitting there with you if you're still rooting for the Browns, right?
Right.
Yeah, I get it. I feel the same way. I think about my dad every time I watch the Browns kickoff. Every time. And that's why. I mean, I got to tell you, Matt, it's really easy for you to walk away from being a Browns fan. Would have been super easy. They've given you really not a lot to cheer about in your entire lifetime.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So, all right, Matthew, hey, thanks for sharing. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Guys, keep it up, man.
There you go. Matthew and Gates Mills. Man, I'm just saying, it's why you get emotional. That's why I was talking about Ken. Ken had a guy call this morning that was crying. Mm-hmm. He was crying over it. I mean, and get over it. I'm so tired of looking at, I quit looking probably after, I don't know, 16, 17, 3 days a week, 2 weeks. It's social media. I'm just kidding. I just quit looking at social media at one point because people were like, you know, they were saying, oh, you're being a whiner. You're being this. No, I'm a fan, man. And the other thing that kind of bothers me now is that we feel like Like I hear these people call and go, "Oh, we're Browns fans. We." No, it's not we. It's I. When you're doing that, and, you know, you're trying to get a feel for. I mean, we're sitting in an ivory tower here talking about what's going on, and we're just trying to get a feel for what people are saying. And sometimes Dan and I, we have to check ourselves because we get like this big, sometimes emotional gush that comes through the phone lines, and we're like, "Is that it, or is that the people that cared enough to pick up a phone and dial our number? Are they in the majority, the minority, or where are they at?" Bottom line is, chances are, if you're listening to us, you're a Browns fan or you're a Ravens fan looking for some, you know, something to quote us about so you can go back and tell your Ravens friends, I was listening to the radio in Cleveland and this is what they were saying. I got a buddy of mine. I meant to tell you this early in the week. Jeff and I are both friends with him. And he was telling me that, I got to find it. It's on my phone here. Here it is. He gave me a play-by-play of what they were talking about on Baltimore radio over there. I'll call him CM. CM was telling me, he said, so far for this past hour that he was listening to the Ravens and he was listening to Baltimore Sports Radio, I should say, and they were talking about it. He said that in this like 10-minute period where he was listening to them, they said they were talking about how the defensive coordinator would be fired by the bye week, that Harbaugh needed to go because he was boring and predictable. This was their callers. That the Ravens have no pass rush, and a guy like Flacco can pick their defense apart. I love that. That made me feel good. Then somebody called in and said the Browns suck, and they're not worried about them. Ha, 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 ha. And that they don't, the Ravens don't have that guy like Garrett or Watt who can be a closer. And that the Ravens always need to be closing, and they can't take their foot off the gas pedal. I just thought it was interesting. He was kind of giving me a lowdown of what was going on.
Well, it tells you that everybody's always complaining about their football team. That no matter how good you are, you're still looking at it, and you're seeing the flaws. While, you know, everybody else is focusing in on the positives, you're still seeing the flaws. Like, that's what always tells me. I mean, you could do that with any team. You could turn on Kansas City radio right now and they're freaking out about the fact that the defense isn't where it needs to be if they want to win the Super Bowl. And that the offense is kind of sputtering a little bit in the Chargers game and they want to see what it looks like this week. Mm-hmm. You could turn on Philadelphia radio and they're losing it because they saw their defense without Jalen Carter and went, "Oh my God, we can't get a pass rush. And now we have to go sign Za'Darius Smith." Like, that's every single team going. We're the same way with the Browns. A chunk of us were looking at the defense. We even heard it this week at one point. People going, "Well, you know, Chase Brown was still able to run the ball a little bit in that first drive. We got to shut that down, too." Like, you have that when you're paying attention to your team. Everybody hates their head coach. There are people who want to fire Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere.
It never stops.
Everybody hates their head coach.
No one is ever satisfied. Madden. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, everybody sits there with their controller in their hand and plays Madden. And so you sit there watching TV going, "Timeout, timeout, timeout. Why is he not calling a timeout? This guy's horrendous. Fire him." Like, we all do it. Like, that doesn't shock me when it comes to Ravens radio. That doesn't shock me in the slightest with this stuff. Like, we're all that way. We're all looking to get our teams to be absolutely perfect and have them win. And it's the same way I feel when it comes to the Browns and looking at this team and with the defense and with looking at it from the offensive side. It's like, I want this offense to be better because I want to score points because points win games. Playing ball control offense, yeah, it can work every so often. But at some point, your defense will look at your offense and go, "You can't score. Why am I busting my hump?" We've seen that before with a Browns defense where they've been like, "We're really good and you're not. So why am I going absolutely full bore when you're like, eh?" That's why I look at it this way.
Let me just kind of flip this around a little bit too, going back and talking about this game. How do you take the Bills and what the Bills did to the Ravens as a sign of either how bad is their defense or how good is Josh Allen? And you look at that from that angle. And I'm sitting here trying to contemplate, is that defense, did the defense, like the fans that had said, "Hey, you always have to finish. You always have to kind of figure out how you're going to win." And they did not finish last week. The Ravens didn't. I mean, you can't give up 20-plus points in the fourth quarter and expect to win. I also kind of, it's a fumble that changed the game, right, in that fourth quarter. And that allowed the comeback in that contest. And so now I'm trying to kick that around.
I think what's going to end up coming with this, I want to see what this Ravens defense looks like because I wonder how much of what we saw was Josh Allen and just Josh Allen being awesome. You know, that's the thing that will blow me away with that dude is, I mean, he's just a one-man cheat code. So I kind of look at this Ravens defense and wonder, like, okay, are there points to be had? Is this pass rush not where it needs to be? Or is it just Josh Allen being a superhero?
All right, let's talk a little bit more about this big game. And, you know, the football season is here. From tailgates to home gates in the backyard, fans across the country are gearing up to cheer on their favorite teams with food, friends, and fun. And here to give us some top tips for making the most out of the game and game day, former NFL star, the pride of Pocatello, Idaho, he is Merrill Hodge. Hi, Merrill, how are you?
Merrill, how you doing?
Dan, that's the first time I've Pocatello, Idaho has led the charge in the introduction. So well, thank you for that.
I was at one point the voice of the Montana Grizzlies, so there we go.
Really?
I did TV and I did a lot of Lady Grizz stuff too while I was out there. So whenever I see Big Sky Brethren, I will always cheer for you, even though you played for the Steelers. So that's tough here in Cleveland, but we're good with it. Okay. How are you doing? Okay. How are you, my friend? How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic, brother. Thanks for having us.
Well, good. All right. So I got to tell you, a lot of, like, a little bit of controversy here among the fans for this week's game because, you know, the Ravens decided that they were going to celebrate their 30th anniversary against the Browns in the first week of the season. And then, by the way, my friend who played for the Steelers, they are going to celebrate their Super Bowls against the home games against the Steelers. I know it gets the fans riled up, but I don't know what does that do for the players.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant. It's honestly, it's irrelevant. The fans, I know, it's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant.
All right, well, I guess that answers the story.
Solves that problem for me. Merrill, you played running back in the NFL for a good period of time. The Browns are in a situation where Quinshon Judkins was not in camp with the team, but is in the active roster practicing during the week. How long does it take for a running back to get up to speed?
Well, it depends on what you're going to ask of him. If he's going to be just a predominant runner, and that's how you're going to use him, which I would assume they would probably just do that with him, then you take a lot of the workload away from him, from understanding, you know, pressures, coverages, you know, formations, your responsibility, pass protection. You know, you take that off his plate, and you just make him a runner. And you build packages around that. Doesn't mean you can't throw the football, but when you do it, you know, it'll be simple things. You wouldn't overload him. So I think he can be productive and helpful in areas that matter, you know, and that's running the football. Being a complete asset to the team, you know, it might take a month or so.
Merrill, just your thoughts on the Ravens going into this thing, because, you know, most of us around here think they're the best team in the NFL or arguably the best team in the NFL. Just, you know, what happened to them on Sunday night against the Bills? I don't know. It was a great game as a fan just to watch from the outside, but your thoughts on the Ravens?
Well, I use them as an example. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're going to win in our league consistently, here's the two things you have to have, and this is historically true for over 100 years. You got to control the tempo of the game, and you got to win the turnover battle. If you do that, you have about a 90% chance to win the game, and that's what the Ravens do. So, you know, control the tempo, what does that mean? Okay, that's why running the football is such a critical component and making your opponent you stopping the run on your opponent because now you control the environment. I dictate how I'm going to throw the football, when I'm going to throw the football. Your pressure has become irrelevant to me. But now I put you in a bad spot. You can't run the ball. Now you're doing is throwing it. Now you are vulnerable. And so once you could, and they do that. They literally have been doing that for years. And then they're building their quarterback in the process to make him dangerous in every phase. And that's what allows them to be the type of team that you talk about, you know. And I think if you go back to their loss in Buffalo, it came down to turnovers.
Right.
You know, they did everything. But the turnover, I think, if I remember, I think they've lost the turnover battle because that's such a critical component in winning in our league.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
It's just so. It's the only stat that matters. Actually, is zero. All those other stats people want to get into it, irrelevant to helping you win and lose game. Mm. Problem with that stat is you don't get it till the end of the game. You know, you don't get it going into it. Going, hey, we're going to get one or we're going to lose two. You know, you don't get that. So that was what makes them so great and makes them hard to beat.
Merrill Hodge joining us on the fan hotline. You're talking about how important it is to control the ball and all that stuff. How important is it as well to have your offense find those 20-yard chunk plays, 25-yard chunk plays along the offense?
Okay, so well, yeah, now you're talking about the different phases to your team, which the Ravens have that. You know, they can run the football strong side, weak side, so they got a lot of phases in their running game. What way they throw the ball, too, they have phases. They're short, intermediate, and vertical. And every team needs to be explosive. I'll use the Detroit Lions. When they started to get better after a couple of years, they got things buttoned up, man. They ran the ball well. In fact, I call them the Ravens of the NFC. They were committed to the running game. They still are committed. Their passing game was short to intermediate, though. You know, they had no explosiveness in it. Once they added that layer of it, that's when they actually came together. Their quarterback really, he matured and developed. And when you look at that with the Ravens, they have all of that. And then they have that wicked weapon at quarterback. You know, just he's a problem. I just don't know why to describe it. And then, you know, so they have so many phases, which is another key to winning championships. You can't be one-dimensional. I'll go back to that. You know, controlling the tempo. If I neutralize some of the things that you do well, or I neutralize the thing you really do well, and I make you win with the thing you don't do well, okay, that's how you got a chance to beat teams like that. But teams that have a lot of phases and they trust things and they have strengths in different areas, can't take everything away, that's what makes them really, really, really potential champions. And that's what the Ravens have evolved into.
Hey, Merrill, just to take on the AFC North, just your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh. And, you know, I don't know if you can take a whole lot out of week one, but just your thoughts on how that's going to mesh for the rest of the season.
I think you take two things away. Aaron Rodgers is still elite. People who were worried about him coming to Pittsburgh talked about everything off the field. It had nothing to do with inside the field. Inside the white lines, he still is as freakish and as elite as anybody in the history of our game, period. If our offensive and defensive line areas don't get better, it doesn't matter, though. It's just you have to play better in that area. They can't play like that. I mean, good gosh, we just talked about the Ravens. They're going to see twice. You cannot play like that. You can't win like that. You know, when you get smashed around in the trenches, you just – well, go back to the only reason they won is because of that turnover. They don't get the turnover, they don't win that game, you know, because of the trench loss. And your quarterback played great, so he couldn't even offset it. That's how critical it is. So they'll have to play better there, and you'll get a good test this week because Seattle's very similar. They're going to come in and test those things, and you'll see if they got better.
Merrill Hodge joining us. I mean, we've got a week of football ahead of us as well, including a Super Bowl matchup, and you know, one of the best things with this is food. What are you feeding some people that are coming over to watch these games?
We're not even going to feed. We're not going to start feeding you food. We're actually going to entertain you with a little bit of a humidor. Okay, the Bovada humidor is a must game day thing. I'm telling you, a lot of people like cigars, so this is a big deal. You know, the humidor with a patent two-way humidity control and sleek design of $299. It requires no maintenance, unlike conventional humidors. And this humidor comes with a one-time seasoning to get you set for the first 6 months, and it comes up with an auto-replenishment option. And then Nuggets get to the food.
Yeah.
Hellman's, the reason people come together is for the snacks and the game, but having a great dip, I think, is critical. And Hellman's Disappearing Buffalo Chicken Dip is the secret ingredient, is Hellman's mayonnaise. You can get that recipe at hellmans.com.
Hey, Merrill, hang on a second. I got to stop for 1 second. Because somebody who lived here and then moved to Montana – and then came back, and you're somebody from Idaho. When you were younger, like, I remember the commercials. The commercials, when I lived here, they were like, bring out your Hellman's and bring out your best. And, and then I moved out there, and it was bring out your best foods and bring out your – the same thing. It was just weird how it was on both sides. Obviously, this is a Hellman's part of the country, but I always thought that would, like, that blew me away when I first moved out west, just so you know.
Yeah, that's – well, that's interesting. Cool. Listen – I'm going to get to the best part about that Hellman stands out from the dips. You know, here's how it stands out is it's not oily and separate, so it holds up through the heat and time and stays craveable from kickoff to the final snap. And you know when a dip gets bad after about an hour, well, that's 3 to 4 hours and Hellman's dip is still kicking. And then Gordon cheese. It's a comfort food, unites us all. And my favorite is you make your grilled cheese bar, and that means you add things like meat, avocados, onions to your cheese, and you got to be creative, but that is key. And then grilled, there was a grilled cheese survey showed 1 out of 4 Americans prefer using mayonnaise instead of butter for grilled cheese crust. Mm. And this room was actually 2 for 2. And who doesn't like a grilled cheese with Borden American cheese melt or add Borden jalapeno? It's better with Borden. And then you got to watch the game. So an LG OLED live 83-incher, as big as they come, on all kinds of sizes underneath it. They're beautiful. And then that secret play of the day, I'm going to throw an ice cream cake on you. Ooh. With Carvel Game Ball Cake. These cakes are available at most major grocery stores. All you got to do is go to iloveicecreamcakes.com to pick it up. And you have a little bit of everything, and people are going to love you and come to your tailgate each and every weekend.
There you
That's
go.
That's good living.
Merrill, thank you. We appreciate it. Love to have you back on anytime you want. And go Big Sky, anytime. My friend. Go
Get
Big Sky.
Me. Love you, Big Sky.
Take care. Take
care. Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.